Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grant and Danny brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murrah. They will help you with all the important stuff you need: medical power of attorney, living trust, anything else. Go to kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. You know what it means when you hear this song on our show. We were having a little Austin Eckler withdrawal, and here in the offseason, he was kind enough to check in with his boys to see how things were going. Austin's actually got something really cool coming up, by the way, as well. The Austin Eckler Foundation's announcing a 2025 charity football fantasy league sign-up. This year they got a bunch more NFL legends, bunch of players participating, including Geno Smith, A.J. Dillon, Jamal Williams, Brian Dawkins, Ray Lewis. Every participant in Austin's fantasy leagues is going to receive a signed item. They can win prizes including signed gear, game-worn memorabilia, and tickets, championship rings, so much more. See the full list of participants right now at charitydraft.com/NFL-league. But Austin is with us to talk more about this and everything going on in his life this offseason. It has been too long, man. How you been?
What's going on, boys? Got to say, I know you guys have built a great community out there, and I know that because I've been around town a little bit. People are like, hey, I hear you on the Grant and Danny show. And I'm like, man, those guys got it going on. So good work to you guys, but good to see you back.
Yeah, buddy. This is such a cool thing that you're doing. You've always had like great ideas and thoughts about something, and you're always thinking in kind of that 360 panoramic. How did this charity fantasy football thing come about? I think it's such a cool idea.
Yeah, people are passionate about fantasy football, and I'm like, I love that. I love that part of it. And I was like, how can I maybe add to that, but also use it in a way that gives back to the community? And so one year I put up like some game tickets, a game jersey, and a championship ring for people to win. And we had a bunch of people trying to get in. I was like, okay, we might be onto something here. And we've grown ever since then. And so now we do charity fantasy football leagues for kind of like the My Cause, My Cleats of the NFL. Kind of now we do it with fantasy football. So people can, like Ray Lewis has his own foundation that you can go win some signed gear, VIP tickets and stuff like that from his foundation. But then also the money goes to a good cause.
Austin Eckler, it's the Austin Eckler Foundation expanding his initiative, including over 20 athletes for the 2025 season in his fantasy football leagues this year for the foundation. His largest annual fundraiser, by the way, they raised more than $80,000 to date, and 100% of that supports the foundation's mission to deliver tangible resources to underserved communities. So job well done by Austin Eckler. And one of the cool things about you, even before you came to D.C., one of the things that I really was enamored with you for over the years, in addition to the fact that you won me fantasy championships when you were with the Chargers, was how into fantasy football you are and were. And I know that hasn't really changed, but I like that you've parlayed your interest into this as well. You don't hear many guys, they kind of shy away from talking fantasy, that are into it, but it seems like it's still a big part of your football fandom.
Yeah, and I'll give a little story of how I even got into fantasy. It was actually my third year in the NFL. And this is a year where I had, I think, right under 1,000 yards receiving, had like 11 touchdowns, and was pretty just active in the offense. This is like my first year really just being a kind of like a split carry type back. And it was a year where all of a sudden after the season, like I was like the sleeper of the year, because the year before I was mainly like a half special teams guy and then kind of like a backup third string type guy. And so out of nowhere, there's hundreds of people just thank you for winning my fantasy. And I started to realize kind of the magnitude of this fantasy football thing. And I thought it was super cool how people from other teams would be a fan of me because I was on their fantasy team. And I thought that was really special for the league. And I thought that was really cool to see different people from across the world, not even U.S., like I said, across the world, that are like, hey, man, thank you. And so I thought it was really cool. And I love the community aspect that it brings. So again, going back to charitydraft.com, that's exactly what we're trying to do there. There's a lot of guys, like we have, you know, Tyler Biadasz, he's our center, right? He doesn't have probably any really true effect directly on fantasy football, but he has a lot of fans out there from all over the place that probably play fantasy football. So this is an awesome way and another example of how fantasy can bring us together and hopefully can get some good out of fantasy from a fan and athlete standpoint. Because, you know, athletes, we don't really tune into it a lot because a lot of it's a lot of toxicity. So hopefully this is a way to give a better kind of outlook on the fantasy space.
Austin Eckler with us here on Grant and Danny. Austin, I heard you on the Ross Tucker podcast. I thought you were awesome, engaging, and just, you know, really cool and thoughtful as always. And one of the
questions... Is Austin seeing other radio shows? Is he seeing other broadcasters?
Oh, no.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Ross is a nice guy. I think we like him, but what the hell?
That's our boy.
Yeah, no,
we'll allow that one. Yeah. But he's the best.
So I'm just basically ripping this off of him in that conversation you guys had. I thought you gave such a cool answer about his question about closing the gap with Philadelphia. They're the Super Bowl champs. They were really, really good. You guys played them tough multiple times throughout last year. And I thought you gave such a brilliant answer on that. So at the risk of doubling up here, can you rehash that, what you said to Ross, to us, just thinking about how teams are formed and kind of where we're at right now and about, quote, unquote, closing that gap with Philadelphia?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's from an outside perspective, there's maybe a gap that still exists in football because everyone's like, oh, that's what they did last year. Because as a fan and as analysts, like, it's all about what have you done for me lately? Like, what have you done lately? Well, obviously, Philadelphia had an awesome run and they won the Super Bowl and all of that stuff. Well, now it's a reset. And you could take us, you know, last year, for example, you know, at the beginning of the season, people would have said there was a massive gap between the Washington Commanders and having any chance to make to the playoffs because of the season before. But clearly that wasn't the case. We came out, we had a new philosophy, we had a new coaches, new culture, new players, and we put something together that was able to, you know, give us a run and push us deep into the playoffs. So it's a new reset. And so when I hear people talk about the gap, I get it because, you know, we got to talk about stuff, people keep people entertained. But for us as players, there is no gap, right? You create the gap, you know, in your offseason training, moving into preseason, into season. It's creating that new gap again. Yes, you have expectations, but that doesn't mean anything when we actually put on the pads and start playing football because things happen. People play better than expected. People play worse than expected. Sometimes there's injuries. So it's all about recreating the gap and reestablishing yourself as a dominant team. And I know we got a lot of players coming back, and I'm looking forward to, you know, continuing to push so we can be hopefully the narrative of, oh, the gap between us and other teams.
Austin, we can get into the Commanders in more detail in a moment, but one of the things I've been wondering for your thoughts on, we just haven't chatted with you in a while, this offseason is, I remember sometime last year talking about the running back position, and you were very opinionated about basically the devaluation of it and how you thought it was going to come back in a big way. And it's pretty amazing that it did, I don't want to say quickly because it's been a few years, but last year, if you look at the number of 1,000-yard backs compared to like 2, 3, 4 years ago, I mean, it skyrocketed. We had two guys flirt with 2,000 yards in Barkley and Derrick Henry carrying their teams deep to the playoffs. We saw Ashton Jeanty, who maybe should have won the Heisman, could have won the Heisman, but, you know, was a top-of-the-board draft pick this year. And it seems like with teams kind of playing two deep safeties, trying to let teams take the lid off, you know, playing that, like, anti-Chiefs defense that spread throughout the league, the run game became in vogue again with lighter boxes. Curious to get your thoughts on that and how you think that changes kind of the health of the pay scale at the position, because it all changed within the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are different trends, absolutely, when it comes to philosophies. And, you know, I think there was a few years where we've seen a lot of zero blitz from a few teams, and we still see that from some. Now we're seeing a lot of too high because, all right, as a defense, what do you have to do? You have to make sure that you limit the big plays, because the more big plays that you have against you, the more less likely it is for you to score. So if you have a team that has a four-yard drive and a touchdown, that's bad. If they have a 14-yard drive and a touchdown, you'll take that, because the likelihood of them being able to do that again, 14 yards and a touchdown, is not very high, because eventually someone's going to make a mistake on offense, right? That's what you're banking on. Hey, we're going to be able to bend, not break mentality, at least hold them to a field goal. So I definitely can see a trend of, you know, hey, we're paying a lot of money to these guys to go down the field and make big plays. So let's stop these guys. How do we stop these guys from going down, all these receivers? So guess what? We're going to put some more help back there. So as runners, I mean, you still have to be a dynamic player. Now, I'm not saying everyone can go out there and run for 1,000. That's definitely not easy. But if you're a playmaker, and which we saw a lot of last year, right, you're going to have more opportunities than maybe in the past than you have. And when it comes to the pay, you know, here's what I want to see. If you are an impact player on the team, regardless of position, I think you should see some new money coming into that position. And it had been a while since the running backs were, you know, seeing any new money coming in as far as setting new kind of all-time highs. So I think there was just a lull in our market for a little bit. But, again, we were able to kind of establish that, that we have playmakers in our market. And I know Saquon kind of set the new bar. But that's my philosophy when it comes to, you know, the new running kind of opportunities that might be open up with these defenses trying to, hey, exactly like you said, stop the deep ball and make these guys drive all the way down the field play by play.
Austin Eckler with us here on G&D. And Austin, you know, going back to last year for you, obviously you know how we feel here on this radio program. We're Austin Eckler. Guys, you're so good with the ball in your hands. And, you know, you make things easy at times, right? Where just a little, you know, dump off to you is a first down and the chains move and we get a new set. And, you know, so effective, obviously, when you've got the football. What do you want to do this year where you go, you know what, I want to keep doing that. And then looking back at last year, do you go, you know what, I want to do a little bit better in this area. So something you want to keep going with and something you say, you know what, I want to tick that up a little bit.
Yeah, for me, it's always be efficient. And, you know, my role has changed over the years for sure. Now going back to kind of that split back that I used to have in my first 3 years. And so for me at this point, I know with our philosophy, we have Brian Robinson back there who is a big body who, you know, is more of a downhill runner. And so then you have myself who's more, you know, of an elusive type back and catch the ball in the backfield. So there's going to be a complementary type of role in both of us for each other. So for me, it's continue to stay efficient. I actually had like one of my most efficient years last year. I know I missed some games for some concussions, but, you know, I was right there under 5 yards a carry and over 10 yards a carry. Yep. on the reception. So like that's where I love to be. And I know I'm efficient when I'm at those numbers. And so again, what do I want this year? Want the same. Where do I want to get better? It's some things that we can't always control, which is the injuries. I want to definitely see myself get through the entire season. I know it's a violent, you know, combat sport. So sometimes you just take a hit, you know, and you don't get up from it, unfortunately. And so my thing is continue to make sure that my brain is right, continue that I'm healthy, be available, especially even in the return game. You know, that was something that was asked of me that I haven't done since my rookie year. So I just want to continue to be effective there and just try to make the biggest impact on whatever my role is. Because, you know, we have a competitive backfield right now. We have 8 running backs in the room. So, you know, looking at last year, we played a lot of guys. There was a lot of guys that rotated. I think we played like 4 or 5 running backs last year. And so I know that's probably going to be something that is going to happen again this year, depending on the situations and things like that. But again, whatever my role is, continue to stay the most efficient I possibly can, which is just building off what I did last year.
Yeah, your efficiency was essentially back to your year three area, right around 23, 24 years old, averaging about 5 yards per attempt. And as you said, 10.5 per catch. And people forget he ripped off the first return of the season in the home opener. Got called back for a penalty, but some huge plays on special teams as well. I don't always like asking guys to speak for other players, but just because you're around him and you've kind of seen his demeanor, you know, so much of this offseason around here, and I'll raise my hand, I guess I'm part of the problem. You know, a lot of us were longing for maybe someone to pair with you at the running back position that might be able to provide a little bit more of a home run ability or speed to go with you. And it's not that anybody's down on B-Rob, but I think he's taking it that way. And some social media stuff about how hard he's working and he hears the noise and whatnot. Just your thoughts on him going into the season. It's a big year for him personally, obviously for the team. They need him to shine. And just his demeanor as you've seen him this offseason getting to work.
Yeah, absolutely. My man is definitely fired up, as fired up as he can possibly be. He's got a big year for him. We've talked about it. He knows this, not only because, you know, it's the year that he's in, but because it's contract year. Like as NFL players, we already have the utmost pressure on us. And a lot of that is put on by ourselves because we have a standard for ourselves that we want to play to the highest and not just compete, but win, right? And so when you have that type of mentality, you know, you have to deal with that because there's the pressure of the media of maybe, hey, maybe you're not playing or where you, what you want to be. But my man right now is juiced, jacked up, healthy, ready to go. So I'm excited for B-Rob to have a big year.
Can you go into the expectations that kind of come on with the season you guys had last year? I know you were there in L.A. for a while when, you know, you guys started to get pretty good. You know, I think you had a 12-win season in the mix while you were there. And all of a sudden, the expectations become, hey, this is now one of the elite teams in the NFL, and kind of dealing with that. Maybe the target on your back, that to use a terrible cliche that everyone always talks about. But what's it going to be like to deal with some of the expectations you guys have to have this year after that unbelievable year last year?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at this year coming up, I think one thing that's really going to help us is Dan Quinn's philosophies. DQ does not let us look past one day. We will come into the team meeting, he'll say, hey, I got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I got all that scheduled out. Trust me, that day will come. I need you right here on Monday. Like, this is where I need you right here, right now. And he is all about in the moment, the brotherhood at the time, the energy that we need at that moment. If it's a practice, if it's a walkthrough, we need the walkthrough type energy. If it's game day, hey, we got to be in the game day, you know, type, you know, energy. So for him, he's always making sure that he keeps the team where we should be. And that helps us manage our expectations, because our expectations are to continue to be the best that we can in that moment for what that moment is. And so for us, you know, there wasn't a lot of expectation from the outside noise. Now there is. But for us, it's no different, because we're not looking outside. We're looking at one day at a time. And I really appreciate Dan Quinn and how much he really preaches that to us, because it's definitely going to help us. Because I know there's definitely going to be a lot of noise about, hey, what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to be. But for us, none of that matters, because we got to take it day to day to even get to some of these expectations that people are expecting from us.
Austin Eckler, again, the new venture he's got, and he's ramping it up this year, is the Eckler Foundation 2025 Charity Fantasy Football Leagues. They've got more NFL players and more NFL legends than ever before partaking. There's all kinds of great things that you can win, so you'll want to check that out at Austin's website and at the Austin Eckler Foundation's site. Last one for me. I'm taking on some heat for this today, no pun intended, but I want to see where you come in. I don't want to lead the witness. The four seasons ranked by Austin Eckler, 1 to 4, favorite to least favorite, your ranking of the seasons would be what?
Of just like summer, winter, fall seasons or what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Yeah, not sports. Yeah. Fall, spring, winter, summer.
We got to want to switch up there, man. You got to, like, set me up a little bit. You know, we're talking four seasons, the hotel. We're talking four seasons, you know. Like,
we don't get to stay in those as often.
Yeah,
no,
the Motown band, right? Okay. The four seasons, yeah.
My long time take has been that summer's the worst season. It's probably because I'm a bigger fella. I think it's terrible and overrated. So I've got fall, spring, winter, summer in that order. What is your ranking of seasons?
Wow. Okay. Ranking of seasons. I'm going to say spring. I love spring as number one because it's kind of cooler. Things are growing. You know, you're just coming out of winter, and it's like, all right, like, this is kind of like the new fresh start. Fall is probably number two, because that's when, you know, for the past 21 years of my life, I have strapped it up and played football, not missed a season, knock on wood. So that's number two. I'll say summer is number three. A lot of some good times in the summer, kind of like a reset type of time. And then I hate the cold. That's why I live on the West Coast. So I'll say winter is last.
Wow. Yeah, Danny, I think it's just that, you know, we don't like being outside and sweating. That's got to be what it is.
Yeah, but in shape guys, like, oh, my shirt fell off again. Look at all my abs. Like, I get that, Austin. I get that from you.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. Right. But I said spring. Summer's third for me, so it's not too far off.
Love spring. It's also pretty good.
Also wanted to just throw this in there, because I know maybe it got messed up in the brief. But, yeah, it's charitydraft.com is where you can see all of our stuff that we're doing this year with all the fantasy leagues. So if you want to win some awesome prizes, like, for example, if you make it to the playoffs in one of my tiers, you get tickets to Commanders-Eagles, right? So home game week 15. So definitely check it out, charitydraft.com. Go see what's going on over there. See all the awesome prizes and all the causes that are being affected by all this.
So cool. Awesome. Great to catch up with you, man. Stay healthy.
Likewise.
We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
Sounds good. Yep. See you guys.
See you, bud.
There's our guy, Austin Eckler. You heard him all season long on Grant and Danny. You see why we love having him on The Fan. Next, I want to dive back into the Wizards trading Jordan Poole. Also, look at the NBA draft. There's one draft analyst who is trying to beat the drums, it seems like, for the Wizards to do something that nobody else seems to want. We will get into that in just a few moments, and I want to check in to see why he likes that fit next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Danny, I was in my car today, and I looked at the temperature on the dash, and I saw triple digits. I can only remember a couple times where that's been the case. It said 101 on the dash. I saw Central Park broke a heat record yesterday that had been set back in 1888. So wherever you're listening from on the Odyssey app or all over D.C. today, hopefully you are cooler than I was when I got in the car today sweating it.
So you know how, like, you don't, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you basically think, like, the dudes in, like, the 1920s were nubs. You know what I mean? Like, any baseball player, like, couldn't hit, like, SEC pitching today and whatever,
yeah, so,
you know?
So let's clarify. Yeah. From a sports standpoint, yes. I think, like, a man in 1920 was more of a man than I am today. There's
yes.
no doubt about that.
Okay, well, that's
but
fair.
Babe Ruth could not make the Rochester Red Wings. Yes, I agree with that.
Gotcha. All right, so this is my weird bit about that. I don't think they really know what the temperature was in 1880, whatever. Like, I feel
thermometers
like
existed.
They did, but it was like some dude named like Ernest, like would lick his finger and put it up in the air and be like, "The wind's coming from the southwest." I tells you with the dew point. I don't think they knew. I don't think their thermometers were any good. Is my point. I know mercury existed. Yeah. I know they had them in little tubes. I don't think they really knew what the temperature was. I don't trust the records. Is my point.
That's a crazy take.
Is that a little
you.
Bit crazy?
Yeah, I mean, the thermometer was invented late 16th, early 17th century. You don't think enough progress was made by 1888 that they had a pretty good feel for what it felt like outside?
Graham Bell did the phone about 100 years ago. We're doing a little bit better now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm old enough to have
sure.
to use the whole rotary situation. If you mess up, you got to start over, and it's the worst thing in the world. My point is, we got better thermometers now than they did then in the 18-whatevers.
I'm just looking. Let me see what ChatGPT tells me. Precision mercury thermometers in use from 1870 into the 1950s were calibrated and accurate to 0.1 degree Fahrenheit. I don't know, man. I think they probably knew what the temperature was.
I think they generally had
a
good idea.
The temperature for the Wizards, Danny, is heating up. Let's
pivot. Hot right now.
Because they made a big deal today. Jordan Poole on the move to New Orleans. They've got a draft and the sixth overall pick. A part of a big first round with multiple selections tomorrow. We want to get some insight on some of what they're thinking. So we bring on Jake Weinbach, who covers the NBA. You've seen his work at FanSided and on ESPN and NBC Sports, among other places. So, Jake, I actually want to start with the Poole trade. Your thoughts on what the Wizards pulled off today, the fact that they've got over $100 million in cap space next summer, and what you think the big picture planning is here.
Yeah, this is a very exciting trade for the Wizards when you think about the long-term future of the franchise. You know, when acquiring C.J. McCollum and Kelly Olynyk, both veteran players that will be great mentors to the promising young core that they've built throughout the years, the Wizards, they've been very patient throughout this rebuild process and have had the proper approach to rebuilding this team. And like you said, they're projected to have around $100 million in cap space next summer in 2026. So they'll have the opportunity to go after a lot of big-time quality free agents and really give them that flexibility to increase the timeline and improve this team moving forward. So
They've built a promising young core. They've collected future assets. Now with this trade, it sets themselves up for a lot of exciting things to come beginning next summer.
So, Jake, on that front, though, this isn't a handful of years ago in the NBA where free agency and having that salary pool was the thing. And now, you know, guys are you know, signing these lucrative extensions, and then it seems like the trade mechanism is how a lot of the superstars are changing teams. Does this help the Wizards do that potentially?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you have cap space, it's not just about going after certain free agents. You can use that cap space to also absorb other players, whether it's salary dumps and collecting more assets, or signing players to bigger deals and then using that salary to trade for bigger names and stars that are on the market.
Grant and Danny on the Fan reacting to the NBA news of the day and discussing with Jake Weinbach what's next for the Wizards. So let's get to tomorrow's draft. You've had a lot of takes and thoughts on what would make the most sense for the Wizards, and you're one of the few people I've seen that's actually floated the idea of a Molly Watch to Washington being an actual fit. So if you wouldn't mind kind of making that case for Molly Watch to us, the center from Duke, the big freshman, a lot of people have him going, you know, back end of the top 10, maybe in the middle of the top 10 in mocks. Wizards fans are much more excited about other names, but make that case for us.
Yeah, I'm very high on Kalman Malawach myself. I think he's going to be an elite rim protector with upside to possibly space the floor with solid shooting mechanics that he has and has proven throughout his pre-draft process and at Duke. So I think he's a very exciting prospect. The Wizards are actually in a pretty good position at number six. And the reason why I like Malawach for them there is it intrigued me to have a front court of Alex Sarr and Kamen Malawach as twin towers, kind of like or similar to Cleveland with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. The idea is there, and I think Malawach can relieve Sarr of some of his rim protecting duties and will make his role easier offensively while also forming, you know, a really large defensive threat that can help set the tone defensively for a Wizards team that kind of needs it. You know, they have a lot of options at six, and I think you can't go wrong with other prospects that they're looking into, such as Trey Johnson, Jeremiah Fears, or Ace Bailey. But the idea of Malawach in that front court just really intrigues me in Washington.
NBA analyst Jake Weinbach with us here on G&D. So, Jake, to that point, is there somebody that if, and I always hate when we talk about rising and falling in the draft because the draft hasn't happened yet and it's based on our own, you know, frankly, disinformation and our own sort of projections as to where someone goes, but just bear with me for the, with the parlance. If somebody that we don't think is going to be there is there, how many guys would you prefer over Malawach there for Washington, if that makes sense? Like if an Edgecombe or a Trey Johnson, would you go, you know what, I get it why they didn't take this guy that makes sense for them. Who are some of those players that if they fall there to six to Washington, you go, okay, that one makes more sense to me?
Yeah, if Trey Johnson falls to Washington, I think that's the best fit there. I don't think Ace Bailey will fall to six, but if he does, that he may be someone that is too hard to pass up there. But other than that, we know Cooper Flagg's going number one. We know Dylan Harper is going number two. So the only guys that I would take over Malawach at number six is Trey Johnson, VJ Edgecombe, and Ace Bailey. Mm.
Jake Weinbach, you can follow him on social at JWeinbachNBA. Thank you for the time. We appreciate it. Good insight.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jake.
Yeah, thanks for hopping on. The draft is tomorrow, and the Wizards kicked off their 24 hours in the spotlight a little bit early today, huh?
Yes, they did. I love that, though. I mean, again, I was talking to the guys here in the studio. I know you're out in the boot for the day. And I was trying to figure out why I love this deal so much, right? Because it's, again, at the end of the day, it's not that exciting. It's potential cap space, flexibility. You know, it's smart, good front officing. But I think I really like it. And this was one of my big frustrations with the Wizards for so long, and even the then Redskins for so long, is when I can see a good plan, I can think along with you, and I go, oh, I get what they're doing. It's very clear what the design is here, right? That's $110 million that's not on the books at the end of 2026. Ta-da. Mm-hmm. That's the plan. Now, what you do with it, we'll see. I mean, last time they cleared a bunch of cap space, they couldn't get a call back from Kevin Durant, and they signed Jan Mahimi and Andrew Nicholson, and they had to spend picks to get out of those terrible contracts. But whatever. What you do with it obviously matters an awful lot. But when I can see along with you, when I go, I get what you're doing, and it's not just some sort of fly-by-night or some sort of silly plan that doesn't make any sense, this makes sense. Again, you're not in a position to win big, so trading away a player for like a slightly better player, maybe we get to 32 wins. Like, that's a chicken feed. It doesn't make any sense. This makes sense. And I think that's what's got me so excited about it.
So for me, it's I think all that's true. It's just more simple than that. Give yourself the most flexibility possible so that when you've got this young talent that someone might want to play with, you can trade for a guy on a superstar contract who you handpick to be the fit. And that's exactly what they're doing. I would also say that I don't care what they got back. You know, we could talk to Chris Miles about this coming up after 6 o'clock when he joins us from NBA TV. But the first reaction people had when they traded Jordan Poole was, well, who'd they get? And then it was CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, what? No. It doesn't matter.
What did they get, not who. Yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
That's it,
like, I literally don't care who came back in the deal. Mm-hmm. And that's probably not the right way to say it, because these are human beings on the move. And CJ McCollum, by all accounts, by the way, is like a Hall of Fame human being.
Great dude, yeah.
I'm not convinced he'll play for the team, for the record. I don't know if Olynyk will play for the team. They got money that's coming off the books. That's what they got. So who it is, well, does this guy fit, and how's he going to help them, and, you know, what kind of player is he going to be? None of that matters. I mean, people are just thinking about it all wrong. They had 2 years left of Poole, and now they get rid of all of this money that equals well over the Poole money next season. That was the whole point of the swap, as far as I'm concerned. We will talk to Chris Miles, as I mentioned, just after 6 o'clock coming up here on Grant and Danny on The Fan. As Danny told you, he's in our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard in D.C. I'm out here in Ashburn today, joining him from an undisclosed bunker and an undisclosed location. Danny, I want to get into our poll of the day next, which was in reference to Pete Prisco's top 100 NFL players dropping. He had three Washington players in the top 100. You opened the show talking about that listing. But I want to talk about the Commanders' high-end talent and if there's enough superstar potential on this roster for them to get where they want to go this season, which is back into the Final Four mix in the NFL. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Pete Prisco of CBS Sports featured three Commanders on his top 100 list. Not surprisingly, Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, and Bobby Wagner all made the cut. It was not that long ago that you could do a top 100 list in the NFL and a Washington player would not be involved at all. So three is a pretty dramatic upgrade. But our poll question today, which you can vote on right now on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter page: do the Commanders have enough top-end talent on the roster ahead of the 2025 season? The Grant and Danny poll today presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long-distance, residential, and commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. 72% of you are saying no. When we ask that as a yes or no question, I think fans are always going to say no, we don't have enough high-end talent locally on the football team. But they have improved in that area, Danny. And I would add, you know, had I have been with you when you talked about this right off the top, I think my take would have been similar to that of Kevin Sheehan when he was on the Blitz today, which is to say, I think Frankie Louvu I'd probably put on that list even before Bobby Wagner, if I'm being honest. And if you're going to keep Wagner in the top 100, then maybe you do have four. Because I legitimately believe, as a tweener, versatile, multiple defender who can do a little bit of everything, Louvu might be that caliber of player, that type of high-impact star. And my guess is they are going to use him rushing the quarterback more this year, that he does get a dozen or so sacks, and that he does show up on a list like a top 100 players in the league this time next year. I think he's that good. There's nobody else, in my opinion, that's on the verge of that. Maybe when it's all said and done, you know, a
Tunsil doesn't get,
you know,
that
Mikey,
for you?
Who's that?
Laramie Tunsil?
Tunsil's in the conversation for sure. It's hard. Because when you rank fifth-ish at a position, and it's an offensive line position, you know, the hype, the love, the accolades that you get, it's not like being a corner or a wide receiver, right? Yeah. So he's certainly in the discussion as a top 100 guy. I think he's going to be really good. I also believe that, and this will be taken out of context, I'm sure, I think his best football was probably a couple seasons ago, if that makes sense. Like, I think he's going to have 6-7 really good years, still ahead of him in the league if he wants to do that, 4 or 5, hopefully really good years here. But in terms of being an all-pro caliber tackle, I think he's probably just more like really good Pro Bowl caliber. And if that's the case as a tackle, you're not getting on a top 100 list, if that makes sense.
It does. It makes sense. I mean, but here's the thing. If you swapped him out with Tyler Smith of the Cowboys, who's 98 on this Prisco list, or 97's Deion Dawkins, I don't think anybody's like throwing a riot, right? Or anybody's complaining.
No. Or, very similar,
so,
right now.
But the
totally
point is, he's part of that group. So I'm fine, because he didn't belong in the Trent Williams, Jordan Mailata, you know, Penei Sewell type categories, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't put him on that list with like the best of the best. But yeah, I agree with the back end top 100 tackles. Or were those guys on the list? Like,
yeah, those are 97, 98 overall. Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah,
there.
That's fine. I mean, and that's why I'm saying he's kind of a bubble type tackle. But that was over the last couple of seasons. New scheme, first year, new organization. I mean, the Texans moving on from him is in the back of my head, right? We had people on from Houston who covered him who say this guy's awesome as a pass protector, but as a run blocker at this point, there's nothing special about it. I think he's going to have a good year. I'm glad that he's here. It was a great trade. I would have done it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But if we're kind of picking nits on superstardom or like one of the best in football, yeah, he's certainly been there in his career. Is he going to continue to be? I think that's up for debate. But you know, do they have enough of that talent? I don't know that you ever have enough. But as long as your quarterback's on that list, and there's very much is in Jaden Daniels, you're probably going to be okay.
It's the equalizer. And here's my counter, though. Philadelphia's got 10 guys. Now, not that this list is gospel. It's not.
10?
10. Detroit's got 8. And Kansas City's got 6. You see a theme here, right? It's now, again, a lot of it is you win, so you're...
That's ridiculous.
You know, your linebacker gets a little bit more love. Or you know, Quinion Mitchell gets more love than the average cornerback. But the point is, a lot more teams have a lot more. And this is the drum I'm beating. Everybody's kind of going, Jaden Daniels fixed it last year. He'll keep fixing it. It's much easier when you've got more talent. If he has a bad game, sometimes the corner that's awesome that they've got that we don't got can have a pick six. And sometimes the tight end takes over. Or sometimes the running back is great. Or sometimes any of these other blue chip stars can have that game that we remember. Washington doesn't have enough guys. This is what I keep going back to. Everybody's just going, Daniels will fix it. He's great, and I love him. It's A, an unfair expectation. B, they need more. I'm hoping Deebo Samuel rebounds to that. I'm not confident he will, but I'm hoping that they, you know, got the bargain deal of the century. I'm hoping Tunsil re-enters there. I'm hoping Louvu ascends into that role that you're talking about. Wagner stays on that plane. But to me, again, not that this list is gospel. It's not. You could... I don't know how you compile a list like this and figure it out based on scouts or whoever, whatever people are saying. But to me, the teams that you're chasing have a lot more guys than you do.
Grant and Danny with you on The Fan, looking at a top 100 put together by Pete Prisco of CBS. Yeah, I'd acknowledge that two things can be true, right? The other teams that you're referencing in the NFC are more talented and have more really good football players than Washington, which is just not as far along in its build. Jaden Daniels expedited things. Like, I think Washington last year was probably a 7-win football team
yep.
that won 12 games because they had a quarterback play at a fringe MVP level who dragged them to what they were able to do. This year, I think they're probably like an 8.5-win football team. And if Jaden Daniels plays at the exact same level, then they're probably, with a tougher schedule, maybe it's not 12, they're probably going to win 10 or 11 games this year. That's very, very possible. But respectfully to Pete Prisco, who does a good job, to suggest that 1/5 of the Eagles' roster on offense and defense are top 100 players in the league, I think is ridiculous. Now, I'd have to do a little more legwork and go through the specifics on, you know, who isn't, but I could just tell you off the top of my head that's not a thing. Hey, real quick before we get to the NBA conversation we'll have with our buddy Chris Miles of NBA TV, draft tomorrow, Wizards trading Jordan Poole, that's coming up in about 6 minutes. I just saw this on Twitter at the risk of, you know, attacking our own Twitter account. I don't think that's what I'm doing. Are you familiar with the podcast Baseball Isn't Boring?
I've heard of it, and the reason I heard of it, is I heard an advertisement for it yesterday airing on the stream about a spring training preview and who's going to have more win totals and what the offseason did for a lot of these teams in baseball. For this spring training. And it was like, stay tuned for the season preview or whatever on Baseball Isn't Boring. And I'm going, that seems up to date and good.
Okay, so it's an Odyssey podcast then. Okay, yeah. Fine. So I'm not familiar with its work necessarily, but I just saw this tweet from 106.7 The Fan, and apparently Baseball Isn't Boring was asking James Wood about his huge season and all-star success after his rookie struggles last year. What rookie struggles? They were watching a different thing than I was. Mm. The guy had about 270 with an OPS just shy of 800 as a 21-year-old in the major leagues. Did I miss something? Rookie struggles.
Apparently you did.
Really? I mean, I can show you rookie struggles. I've seen a few of those around these parts. I know some guys who have struggled as rookies. James Wood, he ain't one of them. He could kind of tell last year that dude was different. But, yes, he's certainly playing at a higher level this year as he is top five in OPS and one of the great power hitters in baseball. But, yeah, that was what it said. James Wood did a quick interview with the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, and they discuss how he's turned his rookie struggles into all-star level success this year.
I suppose that wasn't a boring question. That was an eventful question. I'm not bored.
Rookie struggles.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know, man. I think the expectations on some of these guys now that come up as high-end prospects are just ridiculous. I had a nice exchange with somebody yesterday online who covers the Nats online for his own publication about, you know, if they're calling up guys that aren't ready. And the suggestion was that, like, Robert Hassel and Brady House and Dylan Cruz weren't ready, which I categorically disagree with. But I guess the point is if they don't immediately have a ton of success, that maybe they weren't ready. Which is not how I view it. Like, the big leagues are hard and guys are going to struggle, and that doesn't mean that being in the minors more is going to make it so that you don't struggle initially. Mike Trout and so many other Hall of Fame great players struggled when they got called up, but maybe more of a discussion for another time. Let's get to the Jordan Poole trade and tomorrow's NBA draft with our buddy Chris Miles. We'll do that next right here on Grant and Danny.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.